Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The winter solstice in Ireland takes place on the 21st of December this year. It's an event that we usually associate with the Newgrange Monument in the Boyne Valley in County Meath. Many people will make their way into the passage at dawn to witness morning light penetrate the roof box and light up the chamber within. But if you want to avoid the crowds, where are the best alternative locations where you can witness this very special event? Well, Anthony Murphy is an author and curator of Mythical Ireland and is on the line. Hello again, Anthony.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
Very good and great to have you with us again. Will you remind us firstly why the solstice is marked as a really important day in the Irish calendar?
It's probably because of the fact that we're at such a northerly latitude here, 53 degrees north of the equator, that the difference between the length of day in midsummer versus midwinter is quite extreme. Now, it gets more extreme, of course, in Scandinavia and further north. But undoubtedly, ancient cultures, especially those with an agrarian root, as it were, and the farmers who built those monuments, were acutely aware of the seasonal movement of the sun and the effect that that had on the growth of vegetation and their ability to feed themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that and the fact that at this time of year we have the least light and the longest and darkest nights. We want to know, and we still do today, we want to know that the sun is going to turn back again after solstice and grow in height and in strength and bring growth back.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in layman's terms, the mechanics of it, the sun is not going to get any lower than it is today.
Yeah, so the astronomical definition of solstice is the minimum declination of the sun. Translate that into layman's terms, yes. The lowest ebb of the sun, the lowest point that it reaches among the stars, and therefore the most southerly rising position in the morning time and the most southerly setting place. So if you watch the sun at this time of year, you'll see that it's rising in the morning in the southeast and setting in the southwest. And at solstice, it will stop. So you could watch it around the days before and after the 21st of December, and you'll notice that it's pretty much not moving at all. It appears to rise in the same place for several days in a row before very gradually, after solstice, beginning its turn back northwards along the horizon again.
Okay, so we are going to talk about Newgrange and all of the other places you can go to witness this event. But we do associate the winter solstice with Newgrange primarily. I think that's the first thing that pops into our heads. But it wasn't until the 60s that the sun was witnessed entering the chamber again. And prior to that, it was prehistoric times that people knew about this phenomenon.
This is one of the remarkable things about Newgrange, the fact that the entrance to the passage and chamber was completely sealed off sometime in prehistory. Archaeologists reckon around the end of the Neolithic, the beginning of the Bronze Age. So we're talking around, 2,500 BC, perhaps, and that it wasn't reopened until 1699, when the new landowner was removing stones from Newgrange to build roads and houses. But it wasn't until Professor O'Kelly's excavations beginning in 1962 that the roof box was finally cleared out and restored. This is the aperture above the doorway that allows the sun to travel into the chamber. But probably the most remarkable aspect of all of this is that prior to that restoration, local people were telling Professor O'Kelly, do you know the sun shines in there, on a particular day of the year and lights up the chamber? This couldn't have been witnessed by anybody in the locality for about 4,000 years.
Mm-hmm. It gets very crowded there. I mean, we all see the lovely pictures, don't we, from Newgrange, and it looks great. And I can imagine it's great fun and it's a fabulous occasion. But it is a very busy place to go for the winter solstice.
On the day of winter solstice in particular, as many as 1,000 people flock to Newgrange. Big crowds outside. It doesn't matter whether the sun shines or not. It could be raining, it could be misty, it could be frosty. There's a celebratory atmosphere because people are coming basically to mark the turn the turning of the year. But just to mention, there are several what we call public days at Newgrange leading up. So there's, I think, 5 days, the 19th, 20th, 21st to the 23rd, I think, maybe the 22nd. Yeah, the 23rd, where the public can go. But there's, I suppose, fewer people there on the likes of the 19th and the 22nd and the 23rd. So if you fancy going to Newgrange at solstice, but you don't want to be amongst the throng, as it were, perhaps go to one of the days shortly before or after.
Right. So you're going to see pretty much the same thing. It's just not going to
Correct.
Be on the day.
Well, as I said, the sun, in terms of its rising position on the horizon, does not move for several days.
Mm-hmm.
So it does the same thing. In fact, a lot of people don't know this, but the sun shines into the chamber of Newgrange for several weeks. In fact, more than 2 weeks before and after the solstice.
Right. So listen, if people want to go to Newgrange, that's an option open to them, and there are plenty of days around the actual solstice where they can go and enjoy that. But you have some alternatives for us. And the first one, you're saying we don't have to travel too far from Newgrange to get there.
Which one are we talking about?
The Brunabona site.
Oh, yes. Well, in the afternoon of the solstice, the much less known sister monument. Of course, Newgrange is one of three great monuments at Brunabona, Nowth and Douth being the other two. But Douth is not on the official tour, you know, at Brunabona, whereas Newgrange and Nowth are. Well, Douth has a passageway that points to the setting sun on the afternoon of the winter solstice. And in fact, in recent years, the Office of Public Works has opened that, the gate that locks, that is locked at the entrance, and allows members of the public in to witness the spectacle. And I've been there on several occasions, and it's a lovely event. It's free. There's no lottery involved, but I'm just conscious of the fact that speaking about it on national radio will probably result in more people wanting to go there. I think last solstice, there were 300 people who filed in and out of the chamber over a period of a couple of hours. So that's one that's just not known about. So we think what would have happened in prehistory is that, you know, they would have marked the setting sun on the eve of solstice at Douth and then processed down to Newgrange for the sunrise the next morning.
Well, hopefully we're going to spread the crowds around a little bit now, because we've a few more suggestions to give people, and we're heading to South Kilkenny next to the Knockrow Passage Tomb.
Yeah, Knockrow is a fascinating site because it's unique in terms of having two passages. Now, that's not unique in itself, but what's unique about it is one passage faces the rising sun at winter solstice and the other passage faces the setting sun on the same day. An extraordinary monument. Now, it's partly in ruins, of course. It was excavated in recent decades by Murish O'Sullivan. But again, there's, you know, on the solstice and the days around it, the public flock there in significant numbers on the 21st especially. And the beautiful thing about it is, you know, whereas at Newgrange, people are leaving the site at 10 and half 10 in the morning to go off about their day. Some people at Knockrow are there to witness the sunrise and either hang around for the day until the sun sets at around 4 p.m. or just go away and come back again, you know?
Mm-hmm. A couple of suggestions coming in from people, including this one: celebrate in your own area and with your own spirit, find a hill. Does that work?
Well, it could do. I suppose the thing about Neolithic astronomy seems to be the importance of distant foresights. So if you're going to go somewhere, perhaps take note of where the sun rises out of in the distance. Does it rise out of another hill? Does it rise out of maybe a notch between two hills? Does it rise out of, you know, over the sea? You know, find something that is imbued with that meaning. Some people... something I'd probably love to do myself. I'd love to construct my own megalithic monument aligned on solstice sunrise, perhaps move some big stones into place. But you might need planning permission for that, so just be careful.
We were talking about the old Irish sport of stone lifting with our reporter Maura Fay there a while back, so we could get you involved. We'd get you trained up, Anthony, in the stone lifting,
yeah,
and you could manage it for next year. A couple of others then coming through. Alwyn says that winter solstice will be celebrated at Glen Druid Dolmen in Cabinteely in Dublin again this year, led by a Banfasa. Oh, Alwyn is the Banfasa. Have you heard about Glen Druid Dolmen?
Yes, I'm familiar with it, but I'm not sure if it is actually aligned on the solstice or not, but that sounds like a lovely celebration.
Greenon of Aileach on the Donegal-Derry border is a place to see the solstice, and that's from Brian, who's in Derry.
That's a monument that actually has an equinox alignment. The sunrise at the equinoxes shines in through the entrance doorway there and sort of splits the monument in two. Very impressive. But I mean, literally, you can go anywhere to witness the sunrise on solstice, and anywhere that's publicly accessible, that's an ancient monument. I mean, absolutely go there. But what you won't see is what you see at Newgrange and Douse and Knockrow, is a specific alignment, a passage or a chamber being lit up by the rising sun.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other suggestions now that Anthony, you'd like to tell us about. I know Steve Gullion in Armagh. That one involves a bit of a hike, but it's pretty spectacular, I understand.
Yeah, it's so rewarding. Now, the only thing, this comes with a caveat, it's not for anybody with mobility challenges. It's not a climb. It's on top of a mountain, but it's like a big hill walk, basically. And it comes with the warning that you're watching this winter solstice sunset. So therefore, when you finish, you have to get back down off the mountain, which could take you half an hour, maybe three quarters of an hour, depending on your rate of descent. So just bear that in mind. Make sure you bring warm clothes. Make sure you bring some food. Make sure your mobile phone is charged up should you need it in an emergency. And make sure to bring some lights when you go down. But that's a cairn. It's called the Caillavera's House. The Caillavera's House. The Caillach, an ancient deity associated with many landscapes across Ireland. And it has a passage pointing towards the setting sun. And in the distance, as you're clambered in the chamber of Sliabh Gullion Cairn, you're looking at the setting sun, and it sets over the cairns of Loch Crew in County Meath, and another one called Cairn T, which is the Caillach's Cairn in County Meath. I think they're 61 kilometres apart. A fascinating alignment.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you to jump down to Cork now. This is the Bronze Age Circle of 17 standing stones on a hillside near Glandore. The Drumbeg Stone Circle in Cork. That's a special one too. They're all special,
yeah.
But the Cork one is extra special, isn't it, Anthony?
It's beautiful. And of course, I'm just conscious of the fact that some of your listeners are from the southern part of Ireland and may not want to travel, say, all the way to County Meath or County Armagh. So this is different because it's an open-air monument rather than being a passage or a chamber that's illuminated. But what happens is, if you stand outside the circle, outside what are called the portal stones, the entrance stones, they're the two tallest stones, and you look along the centre of the circle towards, on the opposite side, a recumbent stone, or a lying flat stone, as it were. The setting sun on winter solstice sets into the hill in alignment with those behind the circle. Now, Drumbeg is beautiful. It's in a beautiful setting. It's not far from Roscarbery, but it has views of the Atlantic Ocean. It's in a rural setting. It has a car park, but of course, because it's solstice, expect there to be crowds, and you probably will have to park along the side of a narrow road. So just bear that in mind. Find a parking spot where you're not going to impede, say, emergency vehicles or farm machinery or the local people there. But by all means, go and enjoy it, because it is a most beautiful monument of the Bronze Age.
Okay, now I want to give a mention to this one, which is very special to you, the standing stones at Baltrae in County Louth, because you and two of your friends, you actually discovered the solstice link yourselves to this location, didn't you?
Yes, Richard Moore, the artist, and Michael Byrne, the astronomer, and myself. In 1999, 25 years ago, in December, we confirmed something that we had suspected for several months, that the one of the stones there, when you look along the edge of it, it points out towards the Rockabill Islands. Now, they're off in the Irish Sea, off the coast of Skerries in County Dublin. They're 20-something kilometres away from Baltrae. But what would happen there in the Neolithic is that you're watching the sunrise on winter solstice. It comes out of the sea, literally behind the Rockabill Islands. Now, because of a slight wobble in the Earth's axis, today the rising sun on solstice is about two sun widths to the left or to the east of where it rose in the Neolithic. So it won't rise directly behind the islands. It rises slightly to the left. But And again, that's a beautiful location. It overlooks the Irish Sea, and it's not far from the Boyne Estuary. And actually, we think that they might have been signal stones for the builders of Newgrange as they brought their huge slabs of rock down from Clogher Head by boat, bringing them up the Boyne River.
So they were taking guidance from this.
That's a speculative hypothesis on my part,
okay.
Because they're grey wacky slabs. They're exactly the same stone from which the large stones of Newgrange are made. But again, a lovely open air experience. And the other thing about it is you will see the sun rising about 20 minutes or maybe half an hour before it will rise and enter the chamber at Newgrange. So if you want to be the first, as it were, to see the winter solstice sunrise at a prehistoric or a Neolithic monument, Baltrae is a good place to go. But just to be aware, it is on a private farm. The landowner over the years has been quite amenable to people visiting there. And in fact, as a result of our discovery, for years afterwards, local people were gathering there on the morning of the solstice. But it's a beautiful, beautiful location.
All right, but just bear in mind, it is private land and you might just do the man the courtesy of checking that it's okay before you amble down there.
Exactly.
Anthony, thank you so much. You have a world of knowledge on this and it's always good to talk to you. Anthony Murphy is author and curator of Mythical Ireland. And we have lots of people getting in touch telling us about their own sites that they would like us to know about. Seafin Passage Tomb in Wicklow. And then Betty tells us about the Four Knocks ancient site, which is north of Dublin City, directly north of the sister monument of the Breton's Chair, which is south of Dublin City. And Betty tells us a spear of light can be seen shining through the standing stones there at Four Knocks. And they're shining directly south to north as the sun rises. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, the number is 0870 32 32 32. That is our WhatsApp number.